We're back. This is Chuck Anderson. Thanks ever so much for being with us today. We enjoy having you all as our listeners and our audience out there. So, hey, just sit back, relax, have another cup of coffee, and enjoy our guest, Joe Foss. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Still great to be here.
We were visiting about when you were governor and maybe the attributes that you look back in the years and say that you were able to leave the state of South Dakota. But one thing I might add, Joe, that you left with at least the people like my father and the people that knew you as governor in those days, they really appreciated your open door policy. You know that my dad, Charlie W. Anderson, a plumber from Huron, he could stop in with his coveralls out there in that rotunda, knock on the door and say hello to the governor, and you were there, and he thought the world of that. And times have changed now, Joe.
Well, in those days, see, I never did object to seeing people. I actually visited and learned their problems from people. I worked on the things I had to at night. I really spent a lot of hours, a lot of long days, doing things that I could have been doing during the day if I'd have just locked people out. But I've always had the open door policy. I had my phone listed in the phone book, still do. And I never been somebody that crept off and hid in a crack. I was always available.
How did you become commissioner for this new American League football?
Strictly a big accident. See, after I left as governor, I was vice president of Raven Industries, high altitude research company that's involved in a lot of good things in South Dakota. That was a company that was started in South Dakota as a result of one of the talks that I gave it here in South Dakota again on industrial development and expansion when three young guys there, Joe Kalczewski and Smith and forget the other chap's name, Cole or something like that. They were there and heard it. They were at that time working with General Foods and had been out launching high altitude research beans, balloons in South Dakota, and they stopped in and they heard it and they thought, well, by golly, you know, we ought to go in business ourselves. And those three young men went and borrowed money and got started at Sioux Falls out on the old air base, rented an old little barracks there, and now that's a big one, tax-paying company. I'll guarantee you they do millions of dollars worth of business and stuff.
And you see their balloons every year in the Macy Day Parade.
Yeah, and Swing West, you know, on their snow and ski gear and all of the other things, the farm tanks, and they've got a real going Jesse of a business there that. And they've spread out where they have little plants in very small towns.
In Huron, too.
And my idea of, that's always was my idea as governor, boy, was to spread it out where the community could take part in it, and it would stabilize the economy so that the burden wasn't always on the backs of agriculture. And so I'm just proud to have been associated with Raven. Now, how did I get involved with football? Strictly as an accident. I was on the West Coast, ran into these birds that were forming the American Football League, and was invited to a reception and dinner, and during the course of the evening, they asked me if I'd be interested in becoming commissioner. They were going to hold interviews. They weren't offering me the job, but they were going to hold interviews, and so I thought it would be a good idea. To go and see what it was. So I went to the interview lineup the next day at 6 o'clock, and they interviewed
me. Kind of like applying for a job?
I've never turned down an interview in my life. And I tell people that work for me to be sure and take advantage of every one of them. And if you can get a better job than the one you've got working with me, I'll write you a letter of recommendation, even if it's like cutting my arm off, because I like to see people move up the line. And so I visited with them over there, and they asked me all these questions about football and so forth, and I didn't know that much about it, and they wanted to know if I'd ever coached football, and I said, no, I never coached football, but I coached fighter pilots, and I said, the score adds up a little different. It's a matter of life and death, not lights down at the end of the field. And a few smart comments like that, and that was it. And so the next day, they came out on the wire services. According to Tom Eddy, administrative assistant to Baron Hilton, owner of the Los Angeles Chargers, the American Football League is only certain of one thing, and that is Joe Foss will not be commissioner. So when I came back to South Dakota, old Cy Hoygaard, who was president of Raven Industries, says, aren't you happy here? And I said, sure, I'm happy here. But I never turned down an interview. And he says, well, you didn't get the job anyway. So and that was the end of that. Well, 2 weeks later, they called me. And Lamar Hunt asked me if I'd be interested enough to take part in a conference call at 4 o'clock that afternoon. So I said, sure. And that's with offered the job, and they wanted me to start immediately, and so I gave Raven 2 weeks' notice and was on my way.
As you look back now, Joe, I know probably you're the proudest thing that you've, it just happened here just a few weeks ago, is the Super Bowl. This has got to be something that you're very, very proud of helping start. But otherwise, looking back, are there some things that maybe Joe Foss did that he's really proud about with the American Football League that, as you look back, you say, well, that wasn't bad?
Well, the thing about it, we just, you know, had to really scramble to make it. So there weren't friendly conditions in every direction to get a new league started. You look at the list of new leagues that have started, there's only one survivor, and that's the American Football League. These others have all gone by the way of the grass when winter comes. So I'm proud of the fact that we made it, and we made it in good shape. Of course, we haven't been winning too many Super Bowls, but actually, I think it's going to get better from here on. We've just, you know.
Yeah, the Steelers weren't that bad. The Steelers weren't that bad.
No, we should have won that game.
In fact, let's ask you right now, how many miles are we right from your home where we're at right now to where the Super Bowl dome was, or the bowl was?
About 10 miles.
10 miles. And who was you pulling for?
I was pulling for good old Pittsburgh. They were the American Football League representative.
And they didn't look bad.
No, they were great. They won the game till we donated the ball twice there.
Well, you just wanted to give it away to the Cowboys there or something.
Yeah, and the quarterback, I just about flew out of my seat. We were right on the 40-yard line, and I had a good view of it on the 40 where the quarterback was standing, as a matter of fact.
I have just a few minutes left in this segment. I wouldn't dream of letting an interview go by without first visiting with you about how you got involved with the American Sportsman and starred in the television series, and you had your own then called The Outdoorsman with Joe Foss. How did you get associated with ABC's the Outdoor Sportsman?
That happened by having the Joe Foss pheasant hunt in South Dakota. I started that right after World War II, and it just started as a small group, grew, inviting people from different walks of life out. And see, by the time that I was governor, it got to where there were several hundred people involved, and we had both of the political parties represented there, the farmers and ranchers and all, so there was no political problems or overtones of any kind. And we just had a wonderful time, and a lot of people got a good look at South Dakota that heretofore had never known of it.
Can you remember just some of the names of the people that you had on when you were the host?
Well, it was Jimmy Doolittle and Kurt LeMay, and then Bob Stack and Robert Taylor, and you go right down the line in the movie actors,
sure,
Roy Rogers,
yeah.
And Charlton Heston, to name a few, and of course, and then a lot of industrialists, presidents of big companies that came that later got involved, like Cross from Minnesota Mining, and he was out there from the outset, and we had to, you know, people that paid a lot of taxes one way or another in the state of South Dakota.
I imagine this was part of the reasons that they wanted you to be president of the National Rifle Association. What years were those, Joe?
Oh, I became president of the National Rifle Association in 89. I'd been on the board of directors for years and still am. And see, I believe in the Constitution of the United States. And of course, I don't want anybody horsing around with that, including touching the Second Amendment, which is a right to keep and bear arms. And a lot of people, you know, they don't understand a lot about the National Rifle Association, and they're very liberal members of the press are always giving us a hard time, but that's par for the course. They just, you know, they just on your back all the time. But nevertheless, I enjoy fighting with them on it, and they know so little about it, they can't fight you intelligently.
We're going to be back with Joe Foss, former governor of the state of South Dakota. You're just a wonderful fighter. As you talk, I keep thinking of, in your book, of how you were a street fighter. And you said in the book that if somebody called you farmer in a less than reverent way, there was a fist fight right now, Joe.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. What a fighter this guy is. At 81, he is still championing some causes, of which we're going to visit with him about in just a minute. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Personalities with Chuck Anderson. We're back. This is Chuck Anderson. We're back with street fighter, gambler, former governor. I mean, what a book. I want to tell you the name of the book that I read and was fascinated with. It's called A Proud American, The Autobiography of Joe Foss. It's in your public library. I happen to have the one with me right here in Scottsdale, Arizona, at Joe's house. It's checked out of the Huron Public Library. It's a great book. Joe is the topic many times of high school students, junior high students around the country who have selected an individual that they would like to write either a book report about or be the subject of a theme. Joe, our last segment, thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thank you. We're ready to go.
Spoken as a true retired general. You said in your book your father wasn't particularly a religious man.
No, he was a good man. And that, you know, in the old days, you didn't declare your standing with the Lord like they do today, other than Dad wanted to. We, at our place, went by the Ten Commandments. And that, so you understand the Ten Commandments, and so does everyone that's listening. And you'll do right when you try to follow that course. And that's the way we were, as kids, were brought up in our family.
You're well known now around the country, Joe, as a lay pastor, a person that'll go out and speak for the Lord at a moment's notice. And I was kind of wondering, at what point in your life did you come to know the Lord?
When I was dying, which happened actually in 1966, right after I resigned as commissioner of the American Football League, when I was doing television shows. See, that's when I was doing a show in a cornfield, and it involved getting in the cornfield before daylight in the morning and staying till dark, and filming everything that went on in all the game trails that went in and out of this field, which was down on the Niobrara River in Nebraska. And the guy had sprayed the field, which I didn't know, and this is the head of the story, actually, with some poison, and it mixed arsenic with it, of all things. Hmm. And, of course, it hadn't rained afterwards, and that arsenic had gone down and settled in the joints of the corn stalk. And, of course, when you're doing filming, you don't smoke, drink, chew, or spit, or move. And so I'd just break off a bunch of these shanks of the corn stalk and then had them there, and I'd keep one after the other and be chewing them and swallowing the juice, spit out the corn stalk, and then take another one and chew it and spit her out. And what I was loading myself with arsenic and didn't know it, because arsenic is an accumulative poison. And see, we spent a week in that cornfield filming, and then at the end of the week I just ached all over, hurt all over, and by the time I got back here to Scottsdale, well, I was ready to be a basket case, and I went to the doctor, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. So I went to another doctor, and he gave me every check you can think of, and couldn't find anything wrong with me. By that time, I was losing the use of my arms and legs and my sense of taste. And so then I went to another set of doctors back outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then from there. And in the meantime, I had to be doing my shows for the outdoorsman, Joe Foss. And Dee Dee was trying to help me along the way with the thing. And boy, she just would had to lead me and pull me around in a wheelchair. And so then I finally ended up at Rochester and Mayo Brothers. And they couldn't tell me exactly what it was, other than they thought it was a heavy poison. Now, how do we find out it was arsenic? By the guys in the clipping. You know, you have about 7 hours of film for a half hour show. You clip, 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 and make it so people can watch it. See, all of those things, they don't happen like they do when you run the show. You have to make a fast moving show, or you'd put everybody to sleep. So that's how they discovered the thing. And actually, I ended up, see, with, when you lose the use of your arms and legs and your sense of taste, and your weight is just in a plunge, where I went down to 150 pounds, well, it looks like the end of the trail is looming up pretty fast. And right at that time is when I, in a little Bible church over here, heard the minister talk about being born again, which was something I'd never heard of before. I may have heard of it, but I didn't register it. And in that little sermon, he was saying that everyone, in order to ever stand the chance to go to heaven, must know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You must pray the prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, occupy the throne of my life, and have me say and do what you want me to do. And it was tough for me to pray that prayer, but I thought, well, I don't have anything to lose. I might be leaving very shortly. So I did pray the prayer, but and that was in 1966, shortly after I left as commissioner. So I attended the first Super Bowl in a wheelchair. And all players came by and were shaking my hand, and they figured that's the last time they'd ever see this old cowboy. In fact, I was almost agreeing with him. But I hurt so bad, I just hurt all over and couldn't do anything about it. But the Lord did decide to keep me around. That was the year 1966.
Chuck Colson writes of you, quote, a wonderful testimony to God's grace in the life of one of my heroes, Chuck Colson.
Yep, well, Chuck, he's come a long way. I knew him before he was a Christian, back when he was working for President Dick. And he, you know, was a tough guy, but he came to know the Lord after the Watergate things.
Joe, well, if I could just readjust this microphone. There, that's a lot better. Excuse me. I think we were picking up some static. Joe, we only have several minutes left to conclude your life story that took a full-size library book to hold. Let me just capsulize some items very quickly so we can get them on the show. Just to prove to everyone listening about your integrity and your moral convictions and character, in 1956, Hollywood wanted to do a movie on you called The Flying Marine, Joe Foss. They had you out there in Hollywood with the writers, the producer, Paul Bartlett, and John Wayne, who was going to play your part. They were going to give you $750,000 for the rights to your life story, but when you read the screenplay, you found out that they were going to add a lot of love and romance that wasn't true, just for box office receipts, and you turned them down. Wow, quite a remarkable demonstration of moral character, Joe. And that's probably why these other people have written such wonderful statements about you. And again, I'm going to turn to the book called The Proud American, an Autobiography of Joe Foss, where there's so many wonderful statements, which a lot of them we did in part one of the show. But let us end with some of these, and I don't have time to read them all. Kenneth N. Taylor, interpreter of the Living Bible, founder and chairman of the board, Tyndall House Publishers. We have some wonderful comments from Bill Bright, founder and president, Campus Crusade for Christ International. Phil Harris says some wonderful things about you. Cliff Barrows, also of whom I believe you and your wife and Cliff and his wife are old friends and have gone horseback riding quite a bit, as you mentioned, in northern Arizona. But this one I want to finish with and read. It's by Nelson Bunker Hunt, and I'm sure we all recognize the name. He's a very well-known United States investor and industrialist, and says of you, a Christian witness and speaker, and on film, Joe has led hundreds of thousands and more to Christ. As I'm sure Joe will agree, this is his finest contribution. You are now nationally involved with the Campus Crusade for Christ. You have worked with the Billy Graham Crusades, and I personally saw you on television last May when Dr. Schuller, on his Hour of Prayer and Power from the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, had you as his honored guest, and I listened as he gave you 15 minutes of the show, which is carried worldwide. Joe, you've had a remarkable life, and I'm sorry, our show is coming to an end. I want to thank you for giving us your Saturday afternoon in your home at Scottsdale, Arizona. It's just been wonderful for this country kid here from South Dakota. Let's capsulize. Joe Foss, the nation's fighter pilot ace of aces, presented the Congressional Medal of Honor in 1943, on the cover of Life magazine in the June 7th, 1943 edition, former two-term governor of South Dakota, businessman, author, lecturer, lay pastor, retired Air Force general, American Football League commissioner, founder and host of ABC Television's Outdoor Sportsman, founder and host of the syndicated television show, The Outdoorsman with Joe Foss. Once a farm boy from South Dakota who during the Great Depression saw his father die and gave up his first 4 years out of high school to run the farm and to take care of his family. Thank you, sir.
Great for having a chance to be back here talking to my old friends back there.
From Scottsdale, Arizona, this is Chuck Anderson saying, have a great and successful week, folks. Bye for now.